for the hope that we have today. And when we sing that song, we're blessed. We can also say, thank God we're blessed because we have a great hope today that we can be meet the high calling of God, the bride of Christ. We want to be a part of the bride of Christ. And you know how much Paul loved to have that be a part of his life, to be the bride of Christ. So I'm thankful today to have this kind of teaching and to be able to sing a song like that and sing it through many times and think of the blessings of God. And that's one way to meditate on the Lord. If you keep on meditating, you'll never go wrong. You will never fall. Think of the blessings of God. The blessings of God, what He's doing for you and what He's doing for your brother. We are blessed. We are blessed. Knowing that there's things in us that it needs to be removed, and we don't know how to have it removed. Somebody mentioned fear. I know I've mentioned this. I was saying that last night I was talking to somebody regarding the scripture. Perfection came up, and also to move out alive. So we didn't use that term, but of course that I says. But I told this brother that you're blessed because I says you have a good spirit and you're open. Anytime you're open for change, you are blessed. Not everybody can reach that. They're so tied up in what they believe. They've swallowed that, whatever they believed and whatever they were taught to them, and whatever they believe from their heart, they believe it. And they can't seem to see it any other way. And if they can't see it, they're not even listening in any other. They're not listening. If you're so solid on what you believe, you have really cut off your hearing. You cannot. You have to be open. How are you supposed to believe a Jehovah's Witness if you're closed to what they're closed to what we're saying? You invited Jehovah's Witness. I've talked to them, and they come in, and I mean, we have good fellowship together. Because they know I'm listening. And I said, I appreciate what you're saying and all that. It's just I don't believe it that way. You know? I said, no, you got to have a good spirit and listen to me. You know? And then if they're not open for that, then you don't want to waste your time. You don't want to throw your pearls before swine. You know? And so you just, we're blessed that God can bring us to a place where we're open to hear. You know, it's a wonderful blessing to be able to listen to the authority and the ministry that God places before you. And so you can sit under that ministry, sit under the pastor and listen. You may not like it, you don't, and don't be so strong to judge. And you go by a lot of feelings. Well, I don't feel that. I don't even like that. Well, it has nothing to do with that. It's what God is saying. Glory to God. The voice of the Lord, as we see many times, has to do with the ministry. He said that, didn't Samuel say, you have disobeyed the voice of the Lord, meaning me. That's what he meant. You know, any time that God has a message through a ministry, you are just disobeying. Glory to God. Anybody that's not listening to this today, at least hear. Hear what you say. And then, as a righteous person, you should go home and chew on it. Isn't that correct? As a clean person, as a clean animal, if you're righteous, you would go home and say, Lord, is this the truth? Because that's what you want to embrace is the truth. That was David's spirit. Sure, he was smote in his heart when he had cut the hem of Saul's garment. It touched his heart. God, what am I trying to do? Touch this ministry. And so, where what was I saying? Anyway, so we're blessed. We don't want to touch things that God has ordained and set in place. We don't want to touch that. We want to just say, Lord, if you want to embrace the truth, that's what I was saying. If you want to, and you love the truth, If you love the truth and you embrace it, then you will consider, even though you feel, you know, you won't be stubborn in whatever it is, because then God will give you the truth. regarding fear, often we think about, you know, what is it? There's a scripture that says, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. Sometimes we need to understand that there's certain things in our life that, you know, that just shouldn't be there, and it's a big weight upon us. There's one thing a pastor should want in his people, which is very, it shows up in his people all the time, is fear. They fear. But they must understand we all have fear. And if you don't think so, just God can easily push the wrong button and show that you do have fear. And but it's only, and then of course, the love of God, when you become perfect, you will not have fear. I mean, perfect like Christ. Jesus had no fear. The only fear that he had was when he was in the garden, that he was going to become sin and be separated from his Father. That was a fear, even though he knew. And he knew that his Father does all things well, but he was feeling that separation, and he knew that when he became for us, that there would be a separation from him and his Father, and he never knew that before, and he was feeling that, and he didn't want that to happen. Father, let this cup pass from me, but he was willing to do it because he loved his Father. I know I'm gonna I've mentioned Gideon before, but there's a few things I'd like to mention here regarding fear. It's in Judges. I'm only going to spend a few minutes here because I was hoping to turn to another scripture. By the way, I forget, what time do you quit around here? So we're looking at you know, of course. Somebody was talking about sometimes you land into trouble because you've made the wrong decision. And you've got a lust for certain things and so on. You mentioned that. You know, and then, of course, and then we mix that up with chastising. You know, and we got to know when we're chastised and when we're just not being very wise in what we're doing and so forth. I know that I've advised people that get married. I says, by the way, she should handle the money. Or he should handle the money, whatever, because they could handle it. They could look after it. If you let her handle the money, you wouldn't have any, you know, and so on. And sometimes if you let the man handle the money, you won't have any neither. You have to be wise enough, and you have to blend together and know that, you know, the right person needs to handle the money. Some just haven't learned how to handle finances, and sometimes both can. And they can do a good job together. And so we run into problems sometimes, and we have to realize that's why God has brought us to the body. He loves us, and he wants to save us. Of course he wants to save us from that too. That's why we learn these natural things as well. These natural laws we should obey. These are natural things that we should. There's over there in 2 Corinthians 9 talking about giving, three different ways to give. I mean, well, we got to come up to the place where God is doing it in our life so that we know how to give the way that He wants us to give. Glory to God. You're never going to make the bride or even eternal life or be a part of the new earth if you don't end up giving cheerfully. That's where you got to end up, is because there's three levels there. Glory to God. It just, you got to get rid of all fear too in order. But what I'm trying to say, God can use you and bless you and bless your people, and you can be blessed and be thankful and be a vessel of honor even though there's fear, because there's some fear you don't know about. There's things that you don't know. But here, this Gideon guy, let's see, you know that Israel was impoverished because they disobeyed God. Right? You know, you reap what you sow. Isn't there a law like that? You reap what you sow. So, if you don't learn from somebody that knows how to sow right, then of course you will reap some pretty bad things. And you'll say, well, that's all right. That's the suffering of God. I'm suffering for the Lord. No, you're suffering because you, whatever. You suffered because you didn't do right, because you suffered because you didn't learn so well. And so, and it doesn't mean, you know, Brother Lineker didn't have very much. Well, maybe he wasn't even a man of God, because he didn't have very much. He didn't have a big church. He probably could have had the biggest church in the body if the Lord wanted to bless him that way, because, brother, he had great gifts working in his life. But he asked for, really, to know the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. And we're going to be blessed through the next years that come ahead of us of how much the Lord blessed them. Because I believe that's where now it's going to happen. Because God is getting ready to give us some truth that we never knew before. Praise God. And, you know, we all see things differently. You know that. You say, well, you know, that's why you can't judge by the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear. Is that the way it goes? You know, because that, you know, you hear it differently, I hear it differently. And you can see it differently. The policeman comes along and says, how did this accident happen? One says this, one says that, right? You're different. Well, you know, certain people are seeing it differently. They saw Brother Lineker as a proud man. I'm not saying, and this is not derogatory before Brother Lineker. The way he delivered certain things, he delivered it strong and powerful. And he delivered it in such a way, and maybe I don't doubt that it was the Lord, because it just offended. You talk about it offended people, brother, the way he would deliver some things sometimes, right? Well, then the ones that was offended, they had the problem, because Brother Lineker was a strong man, probably the strongest man that this body has ever known. But he was, I saw in him, because I know, I slept in the same bed as him. We went to Montreal together. He worked with me. I know he was a humble man, the most humblest man I have ever experienced. He was a humble man and loved the Word of God and loved the body of Christ and loved God's people. He really did. And I'm thankful and blessed that I had a part with him, and I'll never forget him. And so we see things differently. So here, you know, Israel was impoverished. They didn't have very much because they disobeyed God. And just because you don't have very much, don't beat yourself up and say, oh, it must be that God has not blessed me. I must not be in the favor of God. No. No, don't say that. That person over there, look, they're doing well. No, don't say that. God is, you know, really, Paul the Apostle, what was happening to him? He must have been a big sinner, because nobody suffered like him. And, you know, and I don't believe that Paul had to do all that suffering to overcome. You think I'm right? I don't think so. You know, I mean, he suffered. It was needful for him to do it, but it was probably most needful for everybody else. Paul, he didn't say to, even though that thorn you talked about had to do with making it, keeping them humble. The scripture says that, right? For sure, that's a key to find out what the thorn was, I suppose. And there is certainly different opinions on that, what the thorn was. But for sure the truth is that it had to keep him humble. And the reason it had to keep him humble, because he saw things that no other apostle saw. Right? Caught up to third heaven. He saw things like that. And he could get puffed up. There was possible. Or the people could puff themselves up and say, I'm a part of Paul. Isn't that what they were saying? Look what he saw. Look at all the miracles he did. And, you know, that's the way it is today. We're just glad to have that pastor. You fall in love, and then if he dies or something, you're in trouble. You know, because you really haven't got, you know, his heart was to plant Christ in you. If he dies and passes away, you still have Christ. But, you know, so Paul had to be careful not to even mention it. But here in the sixth chapter of Judges, I'm not going to read all this. Brother Durham said he probably missed a couple of dozen scriptures. Well, I'm not going to miss anything because I'm not going to read that much. So, but as down in the angel of the Lord down in the 11th verse of the 6th chapter says, and there came an angel of the Lord unto Gideon and told Gideon in verse 12, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And then over in verse 13, Gideon had a question. Well, why is all these things happening to us? Which, of course, is, hey, that's a good question, right? Well, of course, it just shows you why all these things happen to them. They disobeyed the Lord. Why is all these things happening to me? Well, it could be that you're disobeying the Lord. Search your heart. Search, find out, ask questions, counsel. You know, if you really want to know the truth, this is the truth, right? Praise God, because you want to do God's will. If you really want to do God's will, you want to know the truth. Why? Gideon says, why? And so anyway, Gideon was shown something special. He says, hey, wait. And so he went and got some a sacrifice prepared, right? And the angel of the Lord touched that sacrifice, and fire came out of the rock. Well, I want to tell you, that should give enough, what's the word? That should give enough zeal to Gideon to just get up and go, you know, like Paul did. Just get up and go. Man, zeal. He should have said, I'm ready, right? But of course, don't forget, the first job he had to do was go into cut down all them altars, get rid of the altars that they worshiped before Baal. And of course his father had something to do with that. And just to show you, just like Nicodemus, he did it by night instead of by day because he was afraid. And you notice he had some fear in him, but it wasn't all that bad. And God just didn't cut him off just because he had that fear. That's why I'm saying we all have fear. But God works on us. I can tell you, I would like to know, Brother Durham, that that if my church is full of too much fear, I'd like to know that I would talk to them. And after a while, God would give me enough grace and enough wisdom. Brother, they don't need to fear. Praise God. They don't need to fear at all. Let's trust the Lord with all our... In other words, that's true worship of God when there's no fear left. Did you hear? That's true worship of God when there's no fear. That's where Gideon came to. True worship where there was no fear at all. He went with a peace, as somebody says. peace. There was peace in his heart about what he was going to do. Now, when he had the peace in his heart, he only had 300 men. Right? He didn't have 32,000. Okay? So, anyway, let me... Just don't want to spend too much time on this here. I'll just tell you, it's faster. To say, as you know, then after that, then people started gathering to him. When they see miracles like that, brother, great strength, he just went against them. He didn't even get killed for what he did. They couldn't come again. He says, wasn't it his father that said, well, he says, if Baal is God, let Baal fight for him, right? And of course, they couldn't touch him. And so then Gideon then gathered a great amount of men, and they were willing to go with him. You know, I want to tell you, you get miracles happen. Remember, miracles attracts people. And that's one thing, when God restores this church, that's one thing that's going to happen. Because people are attracted by miracles. People are attracted by these things. And that's good. But miracles is not going to save you. Miracles will attract you. And then miracles will cause you to make a decision. Will cause God to say, choose you today what you will serve. Whether you want to serve these things or miracles, or whether you want to choose God. Because, and they think that because the church is restored, now the miracles are here. There's been always miracles. People have been raised from the dead even before Jesus came. So it's not the miracles, it's the mystery that has to be restored. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you can be perfect like him. That, and then there's enough judgment and enough truth around to make that happen. That's the great miracle of God. That's the great bliss. That's the great mystery of God. Glory to God. Where you can see that you are being changed from glory to glory. That there's coming a church on the scene that's going to be restored back to the same condition that it was. In a greater way too. Because it's going to take 7.5 years, brother, to do a great work and just fulfill God's great promise to his son to give him a bride. In 7.5 years, he's going to do what you call a quick work. 45 years back there it took. Some of you say, well, it was 40. Well, you know, I look at it as 45 years. This is the way it looks to me right now. Because thank God I've found some truth. Hallelujah. And I'm embracing that truth until something better comes. Glory to God. And that's the way you got to look at it. If you just kind of say, no, settle back and say, no, I've heard it this way for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. This is the way grandma did it. This is the way she believed. I don't have to believe it any other way. This is the way that great teacher back there, maybe 50 years ago, taught it. You know, I don't have to change. He had the anointing of God. This is the way Moses believed it. Well, Moses was used by God at that time. But thank God Jesus came on the scene. And he says, I'm not denying Moses. I'm not trying to destroy the laws and the prophets. But he says, what I'm telling you now will give you eternal life. And what we're saying now will cause you to be a part of the bride of Christ. That's what God is working on right now. Thank God he is, because that's what I'm looking to. I don't want to be looking at the wrong thing or looking down the wrong road. I want to be looking at what God is building. I want to do what God is doing. I want to be preaching to a people that can be a part of the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. And by the way, you don't have to be here to preach about the bride of Christ. See, there's some people out there preach the bride of Christ too. But they don't have to have a restored church to do it. Well, some people maybe in here don't have to have a restored church to preach the bride of Christ. That's a possibility. But I believe we do. We need a sevenfold light to see everything. If you think anything could be missed, it's just like that rich young ruler. Didn't he say to the rich young ruler, you got a lot? He loved him. He says, obey the commandments. He says, I've done all that. He's one thing you lack. Lack? What do you mean lack? Yeah, you can't lack nothing. Nothing. You have to have a sevenfold light. You got to see it all. You got to see all the truth. You got to know all the truth and let it be a part of your life. You can't lack in anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can't just slide in. You know, that's why we were saying to this young man last night, you got to grow up into the fullness of Christ. Isn't that what we were saying? The fullness of Christ. And by the way, he was open. like Jesus, I'm sure, was saying, "Son, you're closer to the kingdom of heaven than those." Isn't that what he said? Those great leaders, he says, "You're closer to the kingdom of heaven than they are." Being open. Just because you know a lot, you know, you can know a lot and not go any further. You have to go all the way. Glory to God. And so here was Gideon. He gathered these people. And no doubt about it, you got 32,000 men. Even though there might be 150,000 sitting in that valley down there. With 32,000 men, that's sure possible with God. Because you can look back in history and in the Word of God and find out that God did great miracles, you know, and great things. But 32,000, you know, that's possible. And of course, later on, after they defeated the enemy, they would say, "We had great fighters then. We did a lot. We did this. We did that." And God said, "Hey," he said to Gideon, "there is too many men. They will really puff themselves up and believe that they had a great part in this. And they have nothing." You know how many people believe that you have a great part in you overcoming? You have to, all the part that you have to do is know that by the grace of God, you are going to be what God wants you to be. But it's only through the response that you have. Grace is just responding to his love or his grace. That's what it is. That's why it's because in a sense, they say, if it's of works, it's no more grace. If it's grace, it's no more works. But it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means there's work in prayer. There is work in responding. There is certainly a price to pay in what you respond to. Right? When you obey, there's a price to pay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Gideon with his 32,000 men, God said, "Cut them down." And this is the way you cut them down. I can't use those that has fear in them. Well, Gideon should have went too. But Gideon wasn't afraid with 32,000 men. He had no fear. So he wasn't a part of the guys that went back. Right? But as you could see, he had fear. I mean, after he sent out, after he, tested God and wanted an answer from God regarding the fleece, you'd think, man, that man would not have fear. Well, you talk about fear. Now, listen, you know Elijah. Remember, there was 450 prophets of Jezebel. And he says, Elijah says, "We'll prove who's the right God." Right? 450, and there's only me. And that was a problem when he thought it was only him. But he says, there's 450 prophets. We'll see who God answers. And of course, you know the story. Right? But then later, this is the point I want to make. Now, that man was bold, brother. He had faith. Glory to God, he testified. And he says, we'll see who the right God is. And he even mocked the other prophets the way that they were calling on their God. He says, he must be asleep. He must not hear, and so on, right? So, but when it come to Elijah, he says, Lord, you know, praise God. Things are falling apart. Praise God. And so then he praised the Lord and says, show your glory. Show your might. And God, of course, burned up the sacrifice. You know the story. And then, after the rain came, he went back to Jezreel, was it? And then he heard the news. Came over the radio or the media. I want to tell you, he heard that Jezebel, that's Ahab's wife, she was going to have his head before sundown. Was it something like that? He says, so the gods do to me, what was it? How did he say it? The gods do to me and more. If by the end of the day or something, I don't have your head will be the same as the prophet's or something. You're a dead man. Right. What do you think happened? He says, there's no way. I've got a God in heaven. And he didn't do that at all. He ran. Fear came over him, right? And he ran. And he was so disgusted in what he had, he almost gave up. In fact, he really did. But God says, no, I've got to show you a little bit more. But you know, he wanted to die, didn't he? He says, take my life, you know? Look, God is running the show. Glory to God. And don't get so spiritually minded, by the way, that you're no earthly good, that you know more than the ministry, and that you know, and you've got such a contact with God. We're all going together. We all need one another. We're all going to be knit together. It's a body. It's not just an individual situation. This is the body of Christ. You have to learn to love one another, appreciate one another, learn how to do things not grudgingly, not of a necessity, but with a cheerful or willing heart, so that you know that you are not doing it by law, but by the grace of God, because it's God that's working on you, so that then you are saying, thank God I did it, and I love to do it. Thank God I'm loving to do. Thank God I'm really loving to bless my brother. You know, because feelings can get in the way. You can love to bless your brother, by the way, just with feelings. Feelings can get overwhelmed. No, you're loving to bless the Lord because of what God is doing in your life. That's important. And so over there, I want to just bring you to this certain point. I hope I'm not taking too much time here. I just want to get a few points across here. In regards to, anyway, as you know, he was cut down to 10,000 men. Then, of course, it was too many. God said there was still too many men. And now for it to be the bride, that's why order is so very important. And that's why sitting under a ministry is so important. You're not just some lone ranger just going anywhere you want. You know, just doing what you want. Paul couldn't do that. Otherwise, you're just building your own church. You're just building your own kingdom. You as an individual, saints, you can't just do what you want. You have to work. You have to work in order. Jesus showed us, I don't do anything unless my Father says it. And I don't want you doing anything unless I say so. Because if you're in my church, then I have a ministry that's going to be your head. That's just the way it is. And that will keep you humble for sure. Right? That will keep you humble that it's not everything you hear is of God. No? It should keep you that humble. Anyway, 10,000, so he sent them down, of course, to the water. And then, of course, you know what happened. Those that nourished themselves or received from the hand, that's the ones he could have to do the job. And that's the ones that was apart. And even after that, this is what I wanted to say. Even after that, you would think that, well, now 32,000 men, he wasn't in fear. We know that. The scripture says that. But when they put him down to 300, when God brought it down to 300, then he says, now you really have to trust me. Right? I want to see whether it's in your heart or just because you believe what's happening. And he says, and then he said to Gideon, you got 300 men. And he says, and if you are in fear, then go down. And we know he was in fear because he went down to hear what the enemy was saying, right? And so he was in fear. There was a fear that he just didn't know how it was going to work. And God always leaves that reserved for you anyway. You believe God? Well, how is God going to do it? I don't know, but he's going to do it. Abraham, how is God going to do it? I don't know. But he's going to do it. Hallelujah. But God can do anything. So, of course, Gideon went down, and you know he heard something that strengthened him. Right? and he heard that he was going to be victorious. He knew for sure that God would bring victory. And you know what it says there? I got to read it. It says in verse 15 of chapter 7. I'm going to 15. And it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel. Worship means death, doesn't it? You got to have fire and a sacrifice, right? There's nothing in you. Abraham went up to worship the Lord. He took fire and of course, when you go to worship the Lord, you got to have a sacrifice. The son said, "Where's the sacrifice?" You are, you know. In other words, you got to have a sacrifice in order to really worship the Lord God. You got to come with the right sacrifice. And so then he worshiped the Lord, gave it all to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that the way we, you know, forsake all? Isn't that the message that we're hearing? Forsake all and follow him. We come here today to really forsake all, you know, and to get rid of everything that isn't of God, everything that isn't of Jesus. Hallelujah. Follow me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We're a blessed people today. We're so blessed to hear these messages, to hear the truth, for we know the truth will make us free. We're so blessed to know that we're going to know the truth because we're open for change. Glory to God. We haven't stopped. We're open for change, brother. I love talking to you, Brother Weineker, because you'll even listen to me, even though you might even think I'm wrong. You know, you listen and yeah, and then you come back, not that you're trying to say necessarily that, but would you consider this, Brother Goss? You know, that's what I want to consider. I want to consider what anybody is saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because I can come up with weird ideas. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. We're blessed, people. We're blessed to be here. Glory to God. You are blessed to be among. God has especially blessed this assembly. He has brought two assemblies together. What a miracle that is. All the way from Springfield. What a miracle that is. What a great blessing that is. That's a great blessing to be able to do that. Sell their houses. Quit their jobs. And follow the leading of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Smith must have done something wonderful. Hallelujah. He must be a real man of God to be able to do that. Don't you love Brother Smith? I do. I appreciate Brother Smith. Hallelujah. I appreciate the way that God has led him up into Canada. Glory to God to help us. He's coming up, God willing, the end of June. Praise God. And his wife might be with him. Maybe Sister Brenda. No, what am I talking about? What am I saying? That can't be right. What does that say in James, is it? You don't doubt, is it in James? Like the wave of the sea, what is it? Isn't there a scripture? There must be a scripture that says you shouldn't doubt. Isn't there? How does that, don't you know that scripture? Or am I just making that up? Is it in James, about, you know, don't doubt? Where is that? I thought it was in the Bible. Don't doubt within your heart is like the wave of the sea, is it? Tossed to and fro. No, not tossed to and fro. Oh, a double-minded man. That's what I'm going to... Double-minded man. I don't want to be double-minded. I don't want to be... One thing, one time, yes, for sure, and then all of a sudden I'm not so sure. You know, that's, you know, so Sister Brenda's coming with us. So, isn't that wonderful? Praise God. God knows how to put things together. Hallelujah. And God is interested in putting things together in love. Right? And then you will be We got to see God working in love. It says that, that commandment that Jesus gave us, to love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. That is the working that's got to be done. And when you understand what it means to love like Jesus loved, love like I have loved you, then that's a love that God has got to do. It can't be done by you. And when you see this being put together, and then how are you supposed to know? You know, you see it. You have eyes to see it, and you start blessing the Lord, praising the Lord, and saying, I'm blessed because I am different than I was before. I feel different than I naturally and spiritually. Right? Praise God. You loved the car a little different than you loved it before. Right? You loved it before, and you wouldn't want anyone to drive it. Now you love it so much, you want everybody to drive it. You're willing to loan that lawnmower because you love the Lord and what he gave you. So God bless you.
And that is why I love him so, because he said that I could go. He only asked me for my life to give to him a sacrifice. And that is why I love him so, because he said a sacrifice.
called me and said dinner was ready. Hallelujah. I appreciate that. Good song. And to know that we can make it.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just wanted to, Brother Hardin, you're going to be here tonight, aren't you? Brother Hardin, you're going to be here tonight, aren't you? Good. We'll hear from Brother Hardin, give us something tonight. And I was just thinking, I want to read this scripture real quick before we go downstairs and eat. It says, here in John, 1 John 4:17, it says, herein our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I'm glad to hear that we can trust him. Like Gideon trusted the Lord, as Brother Goss was telling us, and that he put his trust in the Lord and not in his own strength, but he obeyed God. And the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's the only fear that I want to have working in me, is the fear and reverence of the Lord. My God, hallelujah. So let's give him a praise before we go down and eat. And we'll let the elder saints go first, and these visiting ministers and any of our visitors that remain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day, for the food that we're about to partake of in the hand.